Welcome to the radio ministry of First Baptist Church in Portland, Maine. Our pastor teacher is Dr. Keith Moore. It is our prayer that you will be encouraged and strengthened as we discover God's eternal and relevant truths for our lives.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Would you take your hymnals with me this morning? We're going to take our hymnals and go right over to 503. Since Jesus came into my heart. Would you stand with me as we sing? I do that to make sure the piano player is paying attention. You did a fine job. Thank you so much. Would you turn with me to 508? 508. Love lifted me.
I was sinking deep in sin.
Doesn't that get your motor going this morning? Love lifted me. Amen. Love lifted me. I was listening to a... Oh, good morning, Chris. Good morning. I was listening to a speaker on the radio this week, and he said something that stirred my heart, and I just want to share that with you. Maybe you heard it also. No matter what trial you're going through, no matter what trial you're going through, God is enough. Did you hear what I said? No matter what you're going through, no matter how bad you think it is, God is enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is enough. So my friends, when we say God is good, the answer is?
All the time.
And all the time, God is good. Father in heaven, how we love you.
We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises as your people declare your mighty words. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises as your people declare.
Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Sing unto the King of Israel. Come on now. Bless the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Sing unto the King of Israel. And I sing glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Are you awake out there, Portland, Maine?
Absolutely.
I know you are. I know you are. Do you remember the moment that the Lord stirred your heart? Do you remember the moment when you were at the bottom of that pit? There was nowhere else to go but up. He touched me. And he made me whole. My friends, there's no greater friend. There's no greater lover than Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of my soul, and I know He is for you as well. No matter what you're going through, one more time, God is enough. God is enough.
He touched me. Since he cleansed and made me whole.
God, we praise you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we're at our deepest point, Lord, remind us that God is enough. That's all we need. God is enough. Holy Spirit, settle down on us this morning. For those hearts that are hurting this morning, Lord, give them peace. Give them comfort. Give them understanding. Lord, we love you so much this morning. We ask you to do a mighty work again in this place. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. We welcome you to First Baptist Church this morning. Let's join our hearts and minds together in prayer right now. Father, we are so grateful for who you are. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we praise you, Lord, for your involvement and love for us and drawing us to yourself. We are amazed at your unfailing love towards us. And we pray that your Spirit would fill us even today, that we would grow in love for you, grow in love for each other, and make disciples of others as we go through life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This morning I've asked Andrew Foster to speak for us, and you may be wondering, okay, so, but I thought you were the preacher. Okay, well, let me explain that. And there's a passage in Scripture that says something very, very important. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I want you to hear that from God's Word before Andrew gets up. Here's what it says. And then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Well, Andrew Foster is doing a great job as our new youth pastor. And he has brought dimensions to being the youth pastor that I've never really seen before. Our youth group looks different than it's ever looked before, and I love it. It is a pleasure working with him, and it wouldn't surprise me if one day God called Andrew to be a senior pastor. And so over the months, we have been talking about preaching, and I gave him a stack of materials about that thick of stuff to read about preaching. And so I want to occasionally give him the opportunity to come and share with us. So this morning, if you would, welcome Andrew as he speaks to us this morning.
Well, good morning. Thank you, Keith, and I would like to take a second to thank Keith and Mike for all the work that they have put into me recently, and Mike over the past few years. These men have certainly put their efforts into me, and I certainly appreciate that. Well, good morning. As Keith said, my name is Andrew. I'm the youth pastor here. It is a great pleasure and in great humility that I come before you this morning to share with you the message that I feel like God has put on my heart for us this week. And let us just begin by turning our hearts to him in a word of prayer this morning. Father, I thank you for the love that you show us and for sending your son to die for us. I thank you for showing us how to love. I ask that you give me strength as I share your word with your people this morning. May my words be pleasing to you. Lord, please soften all of our hearts, mine included, to hear what you have to say to each of us today. I thank you for First Baptist Church and for the great privilege of gathering together this morning to worship you. I pray that you'll bless our time together. In your son's name, amen. Perceptions are interesting in that a person's perception of themselves is often very different than how others might view them. We all have a picture of ourselves in our mind. We have a picture of how we may interact with other people, or how we might respond to them in certain situations, or maybe how we would treat people. We think we have an idea of how we might behave and how others might perceive us. In his book, Unchristian, author David Kinnaman looks at how young people, aged 16 to 29, perceived Christians. These were his findings from his book, and they're in no particular order. First, 16 to 29-year-olds perceive Christians as too hypocritical. Second, Christians are too focused on getting converts. Third, Christians are perceived as anti-homosexual. Fourth, Christians are perceived as being too sheltered. Fifth, Christians are seen as being too political. And sixth, Christians are too judgmental. My reaction to reading this list was not positive. I was really disappointed, actually. Before working at First Baptist Church, I spent the past 8 years working in various social services and nonprofits around the city of Portland. An overwhelming majority of the people that I worked with were non-Christians, and actually probably a good number of them would have considered themselves hostile to Christianity. In my time working with these people, I tried very hard to establish relationships with them and break down some of the stereotypes that I thought they might have had of Christians. I wanted them to get to know me for who I was, and eventually my hope was that they would respect me enough to be willing to listen to what I had to say about my faith. If you're like me, you don't want people in your life to think that this list describes you. You want people to get to know you and give you a chance based on who you are. But unfortunately, perceptions are powerful. And according to Kinnaman, more and more young people are gaining a negative perception of Christians. I'm curious this morning if David Kinnaman were to do another research project based solely on the people of First Baptist Church, what the results might be. If Kinnaman were to ask the question, what are your impressions of the people at First Baptist Church, what would the top six answers be? What might our family members say about us? What might our friends or coworkers have to say about us? What do you think our brothers and sisters here at church might have to say about us? And what might the folks living in the neighborhoods around our church have to say about us? I'm curious what people might say about us if they were to listen in on our conversations in the hallways after the services this morning. What might they say about us if they were able to eavesdrop in on one of our meetings this week? Or if they could listen in on a phone call with a friend from church? What would their impression of us be? As Christians, we are followers of Jesus. We've personally experienced his love. We've personally experienced God's love in our lives and Christ's love as it has penetrated our hearts. If we inside the church know that so much of what we believe is based on God's love for us, why is our love for others not one of the first six things a group of 16 to 29-year-olds thinks of when they think of Christians? Why do we talk about love so often inside the church, but yet it's so familiar to those outside the church? So unfamiliar to those outside the church. Turn with me this morning to John 13, verse 34 and 35. And Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus tells his disciples here he's giving them a new command. But we know this command has been seen other places in the Bible. 1 John 3:11 says, "For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." We've seen it in the Old Testament in Leviticus 19:18. "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And also in Mark 12, Jesus is asked the question, "Which commandment is more important of all?" And he responded, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The command to love our neighbor was not unfamiliar when Jesus introduced it. What did Jesus mean then when he said he was giving his disciples a new commandment? When Jesus says new commandment, he doesn't mean a commandment that had never existed before. Jesus is using new in a different sense to describe something that had been in place for a while, but it is now being refined, refreshed, or changed. It is something that was becoming something new. We see the word new used like this in other places throughout the New Testament, and it might help us understand what Jesus meant if we touched on a couple of those. Paul used this word often in referring to us. He calls us a new creation in Christ, or a new man, or our new self. We often hear about the new covenant, or the new heaven and the new earth, or a new Jerusalem. In each of these usages, the word new isn't describing something new that had never been around before, but something new in that it is being perfected. Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment, not to simply love each other as themselves, but to love each other like he loved them. And Jesus perfected love. Our question this morning then is, how did Jesus love? I want to look at four ways with you that I see Jesus demonstrating his love. The first is that Christ loved sinners. Paul in Romans 5:6 says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." He continues in verse 8 saying, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus didn't reserve his love for the lovable or the righteous. In Luke 19:10, he tells us, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And Paul echoes this in his first letter to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 15, saying, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, the sinners. As you look out across our beautiful city of Portland, what do you see? I see an amazing city full of life and culture and people. I see a city full of little coffee shops that I love to hang out in and restaurants that I love to eat at. But I also see a city full of people hurting physically and emotionally. A city full of sin and people who desperately need a Savior. I see the very people Jesus came to seek, the people he came to love and offer his forgiveness to. I see what Jesus saw in Matthew 9:37 when he told his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." My friends, if we want to obey Jesus' command to love each other as he loved us, we need to be willing to love people we might consider unlovable. We need to love the sinners we might be uncomfortable with. A few years back, I went to a conference with Tim Keller. And he said, "When you see that sinner you think deserves to be passed over, or that poor man in the park begging for money, think of yourself. Imagine you're looking in the mirror, because that's who Jesus saw right before he reached out to you, a poor, undeserving beggar." If we want to love each other like Jesus, we need to love the sinners amongst us too. Are we willing to see people like Jesus saw them, regardless of the sins they may be struggling with? If we want to love like Jesus, we need to go after the lost and point them to Jesus. If we want to love others like Jesus, we need to see them like he saw us. Secondly, Christ loved sacrificially. We see in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, Paul says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." A few verses later, in verse 25, Paul tells husbands to love their wives. How does he tell them to love their wives? As Christ loved the church. How did Christ love his church? By giving himself up for her. Christ's love is sacrificial. To act on the love he felt for us, Jesus gave himself up for us. To act on the love he felt for us, he sacrificed his place in heaven to come here to earth. To act on the love that he felt for us, he took our place on the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. And to act on the love he felt for us, Christ sacrificed his feelings, his comforts, and his physical body. To act on the love he felt for us, he gave up his life. His love is sacrificial. If we want to love each other like Jesus, we need to be willing to sacrifice. Are we willing to sacrifice our preferences? Maybe some of our comforts, what we want, maybe even what we deserve, so that we can love each other like Jesus loved us. If we want to love each other like Jesus, we must sacrifice for each other. We need to sacrifice our time, our finances, our energy. We need to give up ourselves to love others like Jesus. Third, Christ loved graciously. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We are all sinners, yet Christ died for us on the cross. We chose a life of sin that separated us from God. We deserve to pay the penalty for that. But what makes Christ's sacrifice so incredible is that he didn't deserve what he got. We did. He didn't deserve to be punished as a criminal. We deserved that. Even Pilate in Luke 23:4 confesses, "I find no guilt in this man." And Judas in Matthew 27:4, after betraying Jesus, says, "I have sinned, for I have betrayed innocent blood." But Christ's love is gracious. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Luke 23:34. Here we see Jesus hanging on the cross, suffering. In that moment, we see such a beautiful example of grace. As the men who had beaten and tortured Jesus stood in front of him, mocking him, spitting on him, humiliating him, he cried out to God and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Christ's love is gracious. Christ loved us when we didn't deserve it. He loved us enough to die for us while we were still sinners and rejecting him. Christ loved his church enough to die for it. If we want to love like Jesus, we need to give grace to each other when we don't deserve it. Are we willing to give grace like Jesus and love people even when they hurt us? Are we willing to give grace to each other when they don't deserve it? Are we willing to love each other even if we anger each other? If we're going to love each other like Jesus, we have to love each other even when we mess up. We need to love each other even when we don't agree on things. If we're going to love each other like Jesus, we have to give each other grace. And fourth, Christ's love is unending. Paul explains this to us in Romans 8:35 through 39. I'd like to read it to you from the Message translation. "Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. But none of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Christ's love is unending. Nothing can separate you from Christ's love. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. He loved you long before you ever thought of loving him. He loved you enough to sacrifice himself for you and take your punishment. And he loved you in spite of all your messiness. And as if that wasn't enough, as if that wasn't already greater than any other love that we could have known, his love for you is unending. John 10:28 says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Christ's love for us is unending. If we want to love each other like Jesus, we have to stop giving up on each other and walking away from each other. Are we willing to keep loving each other even when we're tempted to give up? Are we willing to keep loving each other even when we want to walk away? If we want to love each other like Jesus, we cannot put a limit on our love. We cannot quit on each other when things get difficult. If we want to love like Jesus, we must remain committed to each other. Looking back in John 13, verse 35 tells us, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. My friends, do people know that we are followers of Jesus because of the way we love each other? Do people know we are followers of Jesus because of how we love each other? Each of us are going to be known for something. What are you going to be known for? Will you be known for some of the things listed by David Kinnaman in his book? Or will you be known as a follower of Jesus who loves like Jesus? As we think about our reputations, what could happen if instead of being known for a bunch of negative things, we were known for loving each other like Christ? What could happen in your family if you were to start loving your spouse or your parents or your children a little bit more like Jesus? What impact could you have in your home if you started sacrificing a little more, giving a little more grace? What could happen at your job if you were to start loving your boss or your difficult coworkers like Jesus? What could happen here at First Baptist Church if we started loving each other like Jesus? If we loved those people that we might want to pass over? If we were willing to put aside ourselves to love somebody else, if we were willing to give grace to each other, even when we mess up and blow it, if we were willing to commit to loving each other and not giving up on each other, what are you going to be known for? I'm not standing here in front of you today as an expert on loving each other. I don't stand here today to say I have this all figured out and the rest of you need to come on board. I stand here today having messed up just as much as anybody else. God has worked incredibly on my heart as I've prepared this lesson and made it clear to me that I need to work on how I love each other, each of you, my spouse, my children, my friends, my co-workers. What are we all going to be known for? Are we going to be known for loving those people that are messy? Are we going to be known for sacrificing ourselves for others? Are we going to be known for giving grace to people when they definitely don't deserve it? Are we going to be known for our commitment to each other, our willingness to not quit on each other? Are we going to be known for loving each other like Jesus? I'm going to ask Christine and Lee to come. I want to open the altar up this morning. Maybe this morning you don't know the love of Jesus on a personal level. Maybe his love hasn't penetrated your heart. And maybe you want to come this morning and pray and repent and experience his love for you firsthand. Maybe you've been hurt this morning. Maybe you need to come and give it to God. Maybe you need to come and ask God to just give you grace, because otherwise you don't know how you're going to be able to give it to others. Or maybe this morning you're the one that's done the hurting. Maybe you realize that you've done some things that have hurt some people, and you need to come before our God and ask for forgiveness. Or maybe you just need to come before God and ask him to fill you with a love for his people. Maybe you just want to ask Jesus to fill you with his love.
So this morning, Pastor asked if we would go back to a hymn that we already sang this morning because it's very appropriate. So I'm going to ask you to take your hymnals, and we're going to turn to page 508. Page 508. Love Lifted Me. And as we sing, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. It'll make it easier for you to get out of the aisles. Come down forward if you need to. We're going to sing the first and last verse.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry.
Let us close together in prayer. Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for each of the men and the women and the boys and the girls that are here with us this morning. I thank you for the work you're doing in each of our lives, mine included. But this morning, Lord, we humbly come before you and ask you to give us your love for each other. Give us your love for our families, our friends, and our community. May we be willing to sacrifice for each other.
maybe we be willing to give each other grace even when we mess up. And may you strengthen our love for each other so that it sees no end. We thank you, God, for showing us how to love. And as we leave here today, Lord, may our hearts be stirred in affection for you and for each other. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
My brothers and sisters, may we rejoice together in the love and the peace that we find in Jesus.
Thanks for listening. We would love for you to join us next Sunday. We are located at 360 Kanko Road in Portland, at the intersection of Kanko Road and Washington Avenue. If you would like to find out more about First Baptist, please call us at 773-3123 or visit our website at firstbaptistportland.org. May God bless you this week.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm and through the night, lead me to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. One that I build my life on. You're my rock, you're my hope, you are my song. You picked me up and made me strong when my way, when it was wrong. Here's my hand, precious Lord, now lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home.